Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for coming to my stream. Brandon, One Fast Stack, Nate, MGTOW Smurf, Caliban, anybody else I haven't mentioned who hasn't commented yet, thank you for coming. I want to do something a little different tonight. I want to try doing kind of a lifestyle sort of thing here. And I hope you guys in Canada don't mind me talking about America, a place in America, but I'm going to talk about a place in America. I'll get to you Canadians eventually. Don't worry. You know, a majority of red pill channels talking and whatnot is about relationships with women, all things concerning women. And that's great and all. But when are we going to start talking about you, right? I mean, the only person who's really going to take care of you is you, in my opinion. I think we need to start talking about what we do with ourselves after we've gotten past all the red pill rage and acceptance and all that. A lot of the red pill guys who do talk about this stuff, they'll talk about, you know, going on trips to Vegas or going on trips to some island somewhere. And what do you do in those places, really? Well, when women go to these places, usually they lay out by the pool. They get run through by Juan, and that's about it, right? And if you're going to one of those places, it's probably not going to be all that much different, you know? You're going to do, you know, some little sightseeing thing. You're going to hang out, maybe do a little snorkeling or something. And, you know, is that really feeding your mind, though? And that's what I think we need to start doing is feeding our minds. Right. You know, I feel as though I've taken so many red pills that I've gone past red and now I'm plaid. Right. I've gone straight to plaid. And it's like I'm kind of done talking about chicks and everything involving chicks, to be honest. I mean, it's good to listen to once in a while, but, you know, it's kind of like you've already solved the crime. You're in the cemetery, right? You've buried your old self, right? Now, are you just going to kind of hang around the cemetery? Shouldn't we get out of the cemetery a little? You know what I mean? I think we need to start thinking about our own selves. So, you know, one of the things that people, when they come out of relationships, is that they don't give themselves permission to do anything, right? It's almost like they've been in a relationship so long, they don't know how to do something like go on a trip or do something for themselves without asking somebody's permission, right? There's a great movie, if you haven't watched it, I'm sure most of you guys have, called The Shawshank Redemption. There's a lot of great quotes. I pulled up a couple of them for you tonight. If you haven't watched the movie, you need to watch the movie. If you haven't watched the movie in a long time, I suggest watching it again under a red pill lens. So let me just give you this quick clip to start. I know I'm a little slow. These things aren't quick and easy sometimes. All right, here we go. Hopefully you can hear that. I hope everybody can hear this.
You don't need to ask me every time you need to go take a piss. Just go, understand?
Listen. 40 years, I've been asking permission to piss. I can't squeeze a drop without say so.
It's almost like, you know, relationships, right? If you're in like one of those kind of relationships, it always seems you have to get the wife's permission to do anything. I mean, I know Pop has talked about it in the past where, you know, want to spend money? You got to run it through the committee, right? The committee being the other person in the relationship. Well, if you're on your own, who the fuck you got to ask, right? You're the only one that needs to make those decisions. I'm going to give you another clip that this is from a stream done the other night by a lot of people's favorite Hammer Hand. So let's take a look at this, because when he said this, it really kind of drove it home for me. Let's see, here we go. I hope you don't mind, Hammer Hand. I'm using your vid.
Just a quick. It says, descendants of John, Christopher, and William Osgood. This is the second book, volume 2, printed in 2015. That's our family crest. You see how thick that motherfucker is? Look at that. Your whole family is in this. My whole family, my whole history is in this for centuries. How many of you have this? How many of you know who you are? Where you came from? That's another good reason to get a passport right there. You don't have to use it for sex tourism. You don't have to use it for self-gratification in that sense. You can use it for self-gratification in this sense. You see? Great reason to have a passport.
What a great message that is, right? I mean, how many of you know where your great-grandparents are buried? I'm serious. Like, do you even know their names? I'm not trying to rile you up if you don't, but do you know where you come from? Do you know the people who put you on this planet, the people before those people put you on the planet, the people who put those people on the planet? I asked family members about my great-grandparents who lived in this country and were buried in this country. Nobody knew where the hell they were. Nobody knew where my great-grandparents were buried. And it took me about 8 months, and I researched the shit out of it. And they were located across the country. And I took it was a work trip, and I worked it into my work trip. And I went and found their graves. Just something, I don't know, I needed to satisfy that urge to, you know, stand over their graves to know who they are. These are things that you could do. Find out about yourself. Find, you know, we think that, you know, once you're done with relationships and you have a hard time finding yourself and your place in this world. That's why a lot of guys off themselves, right? Because they feel that without this other person in their life, they have no meaning, right? But you can find meaning in so much. This doesn't have to be, you know, waiting in the waiting room till you die, right? It's very much be your age of enlightenment. Your age of learning about the world. Where do you come from? The things around you. When's the last time you went to a museum? Just any museum. To learn things. These are the things I want to start talking about. We don't need to talk about them all the time. But I want to start talking about these things. Because I believe that a lot of the red pill shit, and I don't mean to call it shit, it's not shit. A lot of the stuff in the red pill is just a lot of taking care of yourself to then get yourself into a relationship again. Right? I mean, I don't know how many channels and videos are dedicated to this kind of stuff. And then they talk about going to places like, you know, some faraway place to find some, you know, $2 whore to, you know, stick their dick in, right? What does that do for you in the end, right? You know, people say, you know, when you're on your deathbed and look back at your life, right, what's going to be there, right? And I hope everybody here lives a long life, right? And there's going to, and people say, okay, on your deathbed, what are you going to look back at? You know, if you lived a long life and if the plan goes correctly, there may be a good chance that there's a couple years there that you don't get around as good as you are right now. Or perhaps you're already experiencing that right now. What memories are you going to have for you to look back on, to think about during those lonely nights when it's just you, right? Are you going to have a rich life to look back at? I do that now. I'm very fortunate to have traveled a lot for work. And I always take time to look around at where I'm traveling to. And my memories are full of lots of stuff that I think about. I think about places that I've been and want to go back to. You know, I didn't get a chance to do this, that, or the other thing when I was there. I want to go back. These are the kind of things I want to start talking about. Somebody mentioned Hormax. I mean, it's like, you know, look, that's a guy. They're playing guys. You know, his whole life is dedicated towards getting with women. I mean, is that a life you want to lead? I don't think so, right? I mean, look, I'm not going to knock people if they want to get with chicks. You know, your chemistry, your biology makes you want to go towards chicks and be with chicks, right? And that's all fine and well. But what kind of life do you lead if that's all you're doing with yourself? Is that a rich life? I'm not so sure, right? It doesn't seem like it is to me. Does it seem like it is to you? So I want to start talking about this stuff. I want to start just giving you like little slideshows and planning little, you know, making little presentations of places I've been that, you know, that maybe you can go to. You know, if you ever read a book, one of my favorite authors of all time is Jules Verne. And he had a book called Journey to the Center of the Earth. Everybody remember that? They even made a movie about it in the 1950s. I think they even made an update. It's probably a shitty update, but watch the 1950s movies if you don't like to read. And in the movie, oh, it's also in Back to the Future. And in the movie, the guy who had journeyed to the center of the Earth before the team that was the focus of the book, he was leaving his initials along the way. So I want you to feel as though, you know, I'm leaving you my initials along the way of places to go and see what I've seen and take lots of pictures for yourself and make memories for yourself and learn stuff. There's so much cool stuff in the world. And you know what's really strange? They will talk about this stuff on the chicks' channels. They will say, you know, girl, you need to live your best life and go out and go travel the world and all this stuff. This is what they're encouraging women to do. But men, they don't encourage men to do this. They encourage men to get on the plantation, get married, have children, all that good stuff. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a male empowerment? You know, you go travel the world, dude. It just doesn't happen. So people will say, well, hey, Billy, you know, this could be very expensive. Well, you don't need to do it expensively. You could do things on the cheap. I do pretty good with my work, but I am very cheap because I want to retire in my late 50s. I have a goal right now to retire my late 50s. I'm 50 right now. So I do things on the cheap so I could save money so that eventually I could retire earlier than normal so that I can live out the rest of my life doing things. Pop has that saying, 40 to 80 is a long time, right? I say, thank fucking God. I want to live as long as I possibly can because I want to learn so much. I want to take in everything that's in this world. And I think you should too, right? So when I go traveling, like this last trip I took to Gettysburg that I'm going to talk about today, I went camping. It cost me 20 something bucks a day to go camping in a tent. Now, I know I have an RV, but I didn't want to take the RV to this one. So you could do stuff on the cheap, guys. All the museums were like, you know, under 10 bucks, except for the main one. That was a little more expensive. We'll get into that in a minute, but I want to show you just a couple more clips about stuff that I'm talking about here. So if you remember this clip from last week, because this one really emphasized what, you know, these guys who say, you know, oh, go after chicks and whatnot, and all this shit.
Something, no, I'm good.
Soon to so be I you.
And I ate my damn takeout food and I left. Not even 10 minutes later, my little sister calls me, bawling her eyes out, sissy, come get me. And I'm like, oh, no. So I go back over there and she gets.
So guys, I'll jump back into the chat.
Remember what we were saying about wasting your life and your time? I don't know how many times I sat next to a girl like this at a bar.
Yeah.
This kind of fucking bullshit. And I was like, get to the fucking point.
Remember that? How much time have you guys wasted with just low-value people? It doesn't even need to be low-value women. It's low-value people. You just waste your time. I was out driving around today. I saw there was a fall festival in a couple towns over. I just drove past. I was thinking, wow, if I was with a chick, she'd have me go to that thing. And we'd be looking at, like, you know, crystals and fucking scarves and handbags and bullshit. Like, how many times does that happen to you guys if you're with a chick? She wants to go do whatever she wants to do, and you don't get to do what you want to do. How many days, how many hours, how many weeks, how many years have you wasted doing that? Too many to count, probably, right? So going back to the permission thing and the movie, The Shawshank Redemption. Hopefully you can hear the sound on this. You know, a lot of you, and hopefully I won't get taken off if I play this clip because it's about a minute. But I mean, how many of you have crawled through shit, right? You've crawled through the shittiest fucking shit you ever want to crawl through, right? Just like Andy in Shawshank Redemption. Crawl through that fucking mile of fucking crap, right? And now you come out the other side, or maybe you're still crawling through it, right? And you come out the other side, right? And you get away from that shit. Well, now you're in the free, right? Now it's time to start living. Remember this clip? Remember this?
Andy crawled to freedom through 500 yards of shit-smelling foulness I can't even imagine. Or maybe I just don't want to. Five 500 yards. That's the length of 5 football fields. Just shy of half a mile.
Thank you.
that's you guys, right? If you've had those really hard breakups or really shitty things that have happened to your life and you've crawled through that pipe of shit, you're on the other side, hopefully. I hope you're on the other side. If you're not, if you're still crawling through that fucking pipe of shit, it's going to come to an end. You're going to get out of that pipe of shit if you just fucking keep fucking moving forward, right? And by the way, I got to address this. They have a corn maze at the fall festival. I did a corn maze once. I fucking hated every second of it. Hated it. I got lost. It was muddy. My shoes got all fucking shitted up. And I was using my phone to try to navigate out of the fucking thing because I was so lost and I was so pissed off. And it was one of those things like, oh, let's go have fun and go to the corn maze and go to the fall festival. Fuck that. Fuck that. All right. One more clip I want to show you. This is a great clip from a movie. It was Burt, I believe it was Burt Reynolds' last movie. And you should really take it to heart here what is going to be said. Hello, Douglas Edwards. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. And you're watching Boomer Billy try to pull up clips for you. It's great, right? Yeah, it's awesome. Wait till the presentation of the freaking Gettysburg stuff. I should be better with it. Okay, here we go.
It was fun while it lasted, wasn't it, Vic? We had some great times, you and me. We got to do things and see things that most people just dream about.
Oh, yeah.
Where did it all go, man? And what does any of it mean? After all these years, I still can't figure it out. What the game's about?
Survival. Who has the ability to survive? That's the game.
Yeah. Well, I'm surviving. Barely. I took it all for granted. I thought I had figured out. I look in the mirror now, and I have no idea who that person is staring back at me. Damn. You're good looking. You know, time is like this river. No matter what you do or don't do, no matter how much you think you can beat it, just keeps rushing by.
You don't beat it. Don't beat this river.
No, you don't.
So there you go, guys. That guy had everything. Everything. And, you know, there he was, like, wondering where it all went. It's going to be everyone at some point. Where did it all go? What are the memories you're going to have? And that poor guy, by the way, got fucking wrecked in relationships. I mean, Lonnie Anderson really fucked him over. I should probably do a video about that, huh? All right, one last thing before we get into the Gettysburg stuff. That song we started with, as Brandon Trueblood said, the Pink Floyd elevator music. I just want to read you the lyrics. If you're not familiar with the song or you haven't listened to the lyrics, let me just read them real quick. I'm not going to read them all. Taking away the moments that make up the dull day, fritter and waste the hours in an offhand way, kicking around on a piece of ground in your hometown, waiting for someone or something to show you the way. Tired of lying in the sunshine, staying home to watch the rain. You are young and life is long, and there is time to kill today. And then one day you find 10 years have got behind you. No one told you when to run. You missed the starting gun. I'm telling you guys to run. If you can run, run. Okay? And you run and you run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking, racing around to come up behind you again. The sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. every year is getting shorter, never seem to find the time. Plans that either come to naught or half a page of scribbled lines. Hanging on in quiet desperation is the English way. The time is gone, the song is over. Thought I'd something more to say. We all come to the end of the line, guys. It happens to us all. So what are you going to do with your time between now and that time? You need to do something, right? So let's do something. Let's talk about Gettysburg. I know, what a strange lead in, but this is a trip that if you're on the Northeast, you can easily take. And it's kind of an important trip in the regards of what happened there, how it shaped things that happened with our country, what happened with the Civil War. I'm going to do most of this by memory. So if I fuck up, go ahead and say it in the comments, say it in the chat. I'm going to try to give you not a crazy, super, you know, people get lost with names and dates and times and all this stuff. And I want to be as simple as I can with this stuff, really break it down easily and simply. I want to get you interested in maybe going there for yourself. If you're on the West Coast, I'll get to you guys eventually with other places and things that you guys can go take a day trip or a weekend trip or a week trip to go see. So right now I have the East Coast and Gettysburg. So let's get to it. I'm going to share my screen. So let's talk about Gettysburg. Now, Gettysburg was an important BVD, the tour guide mode. Yes. Okay. So the reason why Gettysburg was so important was because of it was basically the end of the war happened here. This is where it all kind of culminated. And, it, you know, the Rebs hung on for another 2 years, but it really pretty much ended here. Now, the Rebel Army, they talk about it like the Rebs were, you know, idiots or rubes or they weren't good fighters. They were doing pretty good the first couple of years of the war. I don't know. They don't really teach you guys that, but they did, right? And Lee, I'm just going to throw out a couple names today. These were the two guys who were the main guys in this battle. General Meade and General Lee. And I'm losing my audience. That's okay. No worries. I know some of this stuff could be uninteresting, but you know, maybe you'll watch the guys who left. Maybe you'll come back and watch later. So why was the Rebel Army in Pennsylvania? Well, the Rebel Army wanted to take Washington, but the problem was that they were low on supplies and they were trying to get supplies and goods. Farmers in the South, most of the war was happening in the South up to that point. I mean, all the war was happening in the South, I should say, up to that point. Farmers were fighting. They weren't planting crops. Farms were getting decimated in battles, so these armies needed food. So Lee wanted to meet the Union Army in a place called Cashtown, which was just over the border in Pennsylvania, because Cashtown was situated in a way where they could hide up in the hills. And they could, the one thing we're going to learn about, you'll learn about Gettysburg if you go or listening to me tonight, is high ground, low ground. Gettysburg is the whole battle, over the 3 days. Battle happened between July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 1863. And it was all because of high ground, low ground. whoever had the high ground was kicking ass. And just the way things shaped up, the Union got the high ground. But that wasn't the way it kind of happened at first. So Lee was in Cashtown. They needed supplies. They sent out brigades to go find food and supplies. At that time, the Union knew that the Rebs were trying to, they believed that they were heading towards, what's the name of that town? Hold on, give me a second. You know what? I'm going to pull up a map. Pennsylvania, kind of help me here. They were heading, they believe they were going towards Harrisburg. So the Union believed that the Rebs were going to take Harrisburg. The Rebs wanted to dig in Cashtown. So the Union was heading down towards Gettysburg, and the Rebs were heading up from Cashtown looking for supplies. And what happened was, is that the cavalry of a guy named Buford ran into columns of the Rebs. Let me try to pull that up for you. Show you what happened. The very first things that happened. So, Rebs are coming up from Cashtown, right? Buford and his cavalry see the Rebs coming. They fired off a shot. The Rebs thought that they had ran into just some, local militia, Pennsylvania militia. They didn't realize that they were beginning to run into the Union Army. The Union Army wasn't fully in Gettysburg. They were on their way, but they weren't there yet. Now, it was quickly realized during this skirmish by both sides the importance of Gettysburg. Because Gettysburg really wasn't, it was a little farm town with about 2,500 people. They had a seminary and a college, and that was about it. Wasn't really much there besides food, right? They wanted food. They wanted the corn and whatnot that was all being grown in the fields. But what was realized was, and by looking at this, what do you think is going on there? Why is this an important? Anyone in the chat? Anyone? Bueller? Okay. So it was important because Gettysburg was a hub. As you can see here, 10 roads converged right in the middle of Gettysburg. So they could go, Rebs could go to Washington. They could go Harrisburg, anywhere they wanted to off this hub. So this is why it was important. So the Buford's cavalry set up a line. It wasn't a very heavy line. And they were basically shooting, falling back. And meanwhile, the Rebs are pushing forward. So then what happened? Come back to day one. The Union finally got there with reinforcements. Again, I'm not going to go into people and names and whatnot. I don't want to get you all confused. This is the easy, quick breakdown. And they set up a short line. And the Rebs, as you can see already, they're sending all their, they realize that the Union's here and they're going to start, trying to take care of the Union, get these guys out of their way so that they could take over Gettysburg, make that a major hub for them to operate out of to get to Washington. Lee wanted to get to Washington and that would be the end of the war for him. So as you could see, they started spreading out across all of Gettysburg, the Rebs. Meanwhile, the Union is getting crushed inwards, right? So what the Union did was they started to withdraw back through the town with the rebels firing at them. You could see here, the rebs quickly realized that they could get on the high ground, right above the town, and fire down on the Union. About where this picture was drawn is where the what's called the eternal light is, and I'll show you a picture of that later. But at this point, rebs are totally in control. They are fucking up the Union pretty good here. The Union lost a major guy during this. Reynolds was his name. Again, I'm not going to try to soak you down with names. Just a few names. So basically, the Union had to pull back and onto a place called Cemetery Hill. And Cemetery Hill is exactly as it sounds. There's a cemetery there. There's a big cemetery, huge cemetery there now, where a lot of the war dead were buried. Meanwhile, the Rebs were taking the positions outside of the town and pushing the Union through. Actually, they were firing through the streets. They were chasing the Union up to Cemetery Hill. So the seminary, pull this back here real quick. Day one, cemetery is, so this was McPherson's Ridge is where they were piling up and crushing down the Union. And they pushed them all the way past Seminary Ridge, right? There's an actual seminary there that was used as a field hospital for both the Union and the Confederates after the Union had pulled back up to Cemetery Hill. As you could see here, Cemetery Hill's back over here, Seminary Ridge. This is all down this ridge is where the Rebs had started really laying up all their forces, led by Lee. Lee set up shop here on Seminary Ridge in a little house. So let's get to day two. So day two, General Meade, he rolled in day one, saw the situation. They needed to, you know, build a line so that the rebels weren't totally fucking take them over. So day two. Where are we? Day two is some pretty tragic shit happened on day two. I get to this one. Hold on. I know, boomer moment. Okay, so real quick, day one. Here we see the Union pulling back to Cemetery Hill, right? And Cemetery Ridge. They started forming a hook, right? This hook ran from a place called Culp's Hill, right here, Culp's Hill, down to Spangler Spring, right? And then it ran up over Cemetery Hill, all the way to Cemetery Ridge, and down to a place called Little Round Top and Round Top and the Devil's Den. And when you go there, if you go there, you will hear about this tragedy that happened all through this. Little Round Top, Devil's Den, Rosewood, Peach Orchards, and Wheatfield was a bloodbath, aside from the main battlefield that happened, the main battle that happened day three, which was Pickett's charge, which we'll get to. Okay, so that's day one. Rebs are really in control now, right? They basically feel, well, we'll just roll up the Union Army and take over this little one-horse Gettysburg, and we'll roll on into Washington with all our victory spoils of food and ammunition and everything else. So day two, pull this up as we can see. Now, Mead has built his line, right? You got Culp's Hill. Now, Culp's Hill was another bloodbath, but for the Rebs, pretty bad here too. Not that this was bad, but look, Culp's Hill was basically the Union had dug in to Culp's Hill, and they had felled a bunch of trees, made themselves a really nice, an embattlement, and they were firing down the hill on the Rebs. It was just bloodbath up there. They didn't attack too much up by Culp's. I mean, they did, but it wasn't the bloodbath that happened down in Little Round Top. It was just a fucking down here. I can't even show you the pictures. You got to look them up. I mean, bodies like a carpet, right? So, day two, what had happened was Meade had built this line. Now, we have this guy, Sickles. All right, I'm trying not to give you a lot of names. I'm going to give you this guy, because this guy almost lost the whole thing for them. This idiot, Sickles, he wasn't like a military guy, or he didn't have much military experience. And what he thought, his brilliant idea, pull this back again, his brilliant idea was to push he was supposed to be nice and straight. You see this line across Cemetery Ridge? It's supposed to go across the wheat field, across Little Round Top, and across Round Top. But what he did was he pushed his troops forward onto the Emmitsburg Road, right? I mean, you could see this here. I mean, look at this line. What a fucking disaster this line is. So what do the Rebs do? They're like, all right, we're going to take out this line, because you got to remember back in when guys were fighting these types of wars back then, they were marching two wide, right? That you had a guy in the front and a guy behind him. The guy in the front would kneel, fire. The guy behind him would fire over his head, right? Oh, did I lose Tom? Call it a night for me. I review the okay. Good night, Tom. Thanks for coming. I appreciate it. So they fought two wide. And if you got a line here, right? So what's the easiest way to take out a line? Straight, get them from the front, right? You get them this way? No, you're going to get them from the side, right? Because you only got to deal with two guys from the side. You don't have to deal with a whole line of people, right? So this idiot Sickles had his line all scattered across the Peach Orchard, the Rosewoods, Devil's Den, and with Longstreet. So Longstreet, I'll give you this guy's name because he's an important guy in this battle. This is Longstreet, general for the Rebs. Longstreet had seen this mess of a line, and he's like, yeah, let's take it. Let's go down here, and then we're just going to roll up Cemetery Ridge. We're going to roll through these guys, and then we're going to just roll up Cemetery Ridge. Going to have these guys take Culp's Hill and be done. All done. Let's go. So Longstreet went in, and it was a fucking bloodbath, like I said. But what happened was I forget the division name. The guys from the Maine, Massachusetts, I think Vermont was involved too. They went up to Little Round Top. And there's a guy, very important guy. I'll give you his name too. Because this guy, his name's Chamberlain. This guy, he won the Medal of Honor. He was he later became the governor of Maine. And what he did, I'll show you right here, was once they ran out of ammunition, they did a charge down Little Round Top. Bayonets fixed. They were literally out of bullets. They were out of gunpowder. and they charged down the hill and they stopped the assault. Mostly, I believe it was the rebels from Texas who were involved in this, who got really fucked up. So the Devil's Den, Wheatfield, right now these areas are closed off. You can't visit them right now. I believe they said it's going to be opening again in spring. But this is where the majority of a lot of deaths on day two happened. Like I said, like carpets. I mean, if you look it up on the net, it's pretty bad. Carpets of people just on the ground dead. All right. I want to show you while I was talking about Culp's Hill. So I had mentioned Culp's Hill. Pull this up. So you can see Culp's Hill had this armament. They'd felled a lot of trees. So that created a nice line for them to, a barrier for them to hide behind, the Union. And they basically just were up on the hill firing down on the Rebs. So the Rebs tried to make some assaults on Culp's Hill, but it was just, they got fucked up. You can see here, some painting. I'm not sure how accurate this painting is, because it's basically the rebels were down the hill. I mean, you got to imagine that they're down the hill here. It's not really a best picture, but and the Union was up on the hill behind these battlements and just fucking their shit up. All right. So let's take it to day three. So day three, this is the last day. Now you got to remember, this is middle of July, July 1st, 2nd, 3rd. Very hot, extremely hot, and it was very humid. So the plan was by the rebels were to fire on the Union lines on Cemetery Hill. Let me pull this up. Day three. Here we go. Okay. Now, at this point, day three, if you read about this stuff, they call this the hook, right? This is the lines that the Union had drawn, basically up on Cemetery Ridge, up around Little Round Top and Round Top. They reinforced themselves really good, right? They had the high ground. The rebels who were on Seminary Ridge, and back in the fields and Pitzer's Run, Willoughby Run, they had amassed a huge army back here, right? So their plan was to fire on a particular spot within the Cemetery Ridge line, right? And they were going to open up this area, and they were all going to charge through the area, come in and just wipe out this whole thing. So it's basically, they had these clump of trees that are still there. You could still see these trees. Fire everything at these trees. And this was, everybody's going to go through this area. They were going to wipe it out. So they just laid into this with everything they had. The problem was that they were short on ammunition, short on gunpowder at this point. So, and what was happening was, because they were throwing up so many barrages and the humidity was so thick that the smoke was hanging within the air and it wasn't really clearing out. Now, firing a cannon, what happens is that every time you fire, it gets off a little bit, right? It's going to be, you're going to have to keep resetting it. Not after every shot, but fairly often to reset the cannon. So they were resetting the cannons, but the problem was they were resetting it and it was going over the area that they wanted to fire on and into empty fields behind the Union lines, right? So Meade sees all this happening. He says, stop firing. Union, stop firing. So the Rebs now, they think that well, the unions, we've destroyed the cannons. We fucked them up. Time to make the charge, right? So here we go. Pickett's charge. Oh, we'll pull up Pickett real quick. Another name you should know when we were talking about this stuff. George Pickett, trusted rebel guy. He's going to lead this charge, and they're going to go up this field, this big open field. The problem is this field is on the low ground, right? The Union's on the high ground, right? So, but they think that they're good. They've taken out the cannons, that they're good to go. So they massed their armies and double timed up across this field. Problem was many. The biggest one was that they hit a fence that they had to try to go over, and they got fucked up across this fence. They lost so many people on this fence. They finally got up to the line. The cannons were still fine. They Union started firing on the Rebs. Rebs got decimated. And there was one general, General Armistead, right here. He actually made it over. He was one of the few, brigades, one of the few brigades that made it over the wall. He took off his hat. See if I can find the picture, because it's kind of a pretty important thing. Took off his hat, stuck it through his sword, raised it above his head, and he said something to the effect of, "For Virginia." And they charged over the wall, and they got just fucked up. So that was, you know, that was it. They Rebs pulled back what little they had left. Lee looked at the situation, and they said, "We need to get out of here. We're done. We don't have an army anymore." I believe it was Pickett who said he doesn't have men. He doesn't have a brigade. He's done. So, July 4th, they're gathering. They're middle of the night. They're gathering their dead. They're getting the hell out of Dodge. July 4th, pouring rain. I believe July 4th and 5th poured rain. I could be wrong. Look me up. And Lee made his escape back down through the Shenandoah Valley. They got held up from the rain, had flooded rivers. Now, this is where Meade, he didn't have a favorable history, because Meade could have basically, I mean, you could see his line. Meade could have followed Lee and just finished the war right here, but they didn't. And Lee was able to get back through the Shenandoah Valley back into West Virginia. And that was, that was pretty much the end of the rebel army, although they kept it going for another 2 years. That was the pretty important battle. And that's why it's such an important place that I think you should visit. So if you go to visit, I'm going to give you my suggestions, what to do, what to see. I only spent a couple days there. You could spend more time. You could probably spend a week there looking at everything. First thing you want to get before you go, or while you're there, is this book, Gettysburg Battlefield Monuments. One thing you'll see when you're there is lots of monuments, mostly from the Union side. And the reason for that is because the North didn't really want the South putting monuments up in the North. And they did eventually, but it was looked down upon at first when they first started to try to do it. Plus, you got to remember, the South was pretty decimated after the war. They didn't really have money to put up monuments all through a battlefield that they lost a lot, you know, they pretty much lost the war over. So you're going to see way more Union monuments, and some of them are astounding. So you're going to see way more Union monuments than you will of Reb monuments. But this book is very important because you're going to be driving around, because you could drive pretty much this whole thing if you want. You could walk around, or you can either way you want to go. So you're going to want a guide to get you through it if you're going to do it by yourself. There are, you could take a bus tour. You could take a self-guided driving tour with a, I believe it's a CD, if you still have a CD in your car. I think you could probably download, I think they have a downloaded version of it. You can get that at the, there's a museum, the National Parks Museum there, that you can get all this stuff at. So, done with the maps. Let's go to some of my pictures, and let me show you around a little what you could see and do there. So, here is a place. This was one of my first stops. Was this is the old, I believe it's the old armory. It's an Eisenhower era building. And they had a lot of stuff here to see. I mean, it's not just Civil War stuff, although they say it's the largest display of authentic military items. They have stuff that goes back to World War One, World War Two, Korean War. They had some really interesting artifacts that I wasn't, I was surprised that they had them there. So you can see basically, you know, the general, I think it was like $7 to get into this place. And they had so much, look, you could spend, I mean, if you want to read everything they got and really look at everything they got, you could spend a couple hours here. The guy who runs it's a really nice guy. Let me hold a Civil War era musket. Let me hold a World War II era machine gun. It's pretty cool. Nice people there. So they have Custer's boots. All right. Did you know that Custer was in the Battle of Gettysburg? He was a Union officer during the war. Of course, he died out in South Dakota, Battle of Little Bighorn. All right, they have General Douglas MacArthur's corncob pipes. It's pretty cool, right? And his glasses. I mean, this is kind of, that's him, right? That's his whole persona right there. They had the ensign flag for the USS Maine. If you know anything about history, it's a pretty important piece right here. Salvage from Havana Harbor. If you don't know anything about it, look it up. Google it. Although I hate to tell people to Google things, but all right. So that was the first thing I saw. Then I went to the main museum that's there, the Gettysburg National Military Park. This is run by the National Park Service. And there is a lot to see here. They have so much stuff. I mean, you could spend a day in this place just reading and looking at everything they had. So much uniforms and presentations and guns and cannons and everything you'd ever want to see and read. So I spent some time there. And then they do have this one thing that's really cool. It's called the Cyclopedia, I believe it's the name of it. And it's basically this 360-degree painting of the Gettysburg Battle, and they do a presentation where they light it up. And now this thing was painted in the, I want to say the early or the late 1800s. I believe it was French artist who painted it. And, it's huge. It's massive. I believe it's 21 feet high. I mean, you can kind of get the scale of it in this picture, and I'll give it just a kind of a look of it. And they restored it. It took them a few years to restore this. I mean, you could see the detail in this thing. I believe, like I said, it was a bunch of French artists who painted it originally. I mean, look at that. And they do this really cool presentation where they show, you know, they'll light up the map, show you what's going on, where, who's doing what, wherever. So that's part of like a package. You can get a museum, see the whole museum, see the encyclopedia. And I really suggest doing both. All right. So then I went over to this place called the Gettysburg Diorama. Now, if you like 1960s cyclorama, sorry. Yes, you're right. Lupus Omega. See, I told you, like, I'm not going to get it perfect. It was the cyclorama. Sorry. So this place, it took them like 5 years to build this. It's a little tiny miniature version of the whole Gettysburg, and it is huge. I mean, huge. And it really kind of gives you the scale, and it gives you, it's almost like you're flying over the battlefield. So I suggest doing this. This was, I think, like $7. Like a lot of these things are like $7, $8, $9 to do. And like I said, it really gives you a good look at everything. Then I went over to this place called the Jenny Wade House. Now, Jenny Wade was the only civilian killed during the battle. In Pennsylvania, if you know anything about Pennsylvania, duplexes still to this day are like a thing in Pennsylvania. Basically, where one house, but half the house is one person, half the house is another family. So this wasn't Jenny Wade's house. This was her sister's house, and they lived on this side of the house. This side of the house faces the town of Gettysburg. And when the Union, this is on the edge of Cemetery Ridge. So this family's in the middle of this battle. So she decides, you know, she's baking bread for the Union troops and whatnot. And meanwhile, the Rebs are just shooting into the Cemetery Ridge line, and they're firing at the house. Bullet comes. Now, she had two doors. She had this door and another door. She thought she was okay, and the bullet came through both doors, right like that, killed her instantly. So she's dead on the floor. Family's freaking out. Now, there's a hole blasted through the upper bedroom, and so the couple of Union soldiers had come and knocked down the rest of the wall, because they couldn't go out the door that she got killed through, right? So they knocked down the wall. They took her through the other side of the house and then down into the basement for the duration of the battle. And there she lay dead for a couple days. And then they buried her up in Evergreen Cemetery, which is, the cemetery is two cemeteries, but they're right there on Cemetery Ridge. And she has what's called a perpetual flag, which means they never take it down. There's only one other woman who has a perpetual flag. Anybody know who that is? Anyone? Chat? Anyone know? Any guesses? Come on. No guesses? All right, I'll give you the answer. The other perpetual flag for a woman is Betsy Ross. Now you know. You got Lupus Omega. You know it. All right. So let's just take a quick, this would be like what you'd see if you drove around. Or if you take a bus tour, you can take bus tours. See lots of monuments all over the place. You'll see cannons. Now, the cannons are Civil War era, but none of them are original to the battle. You'll see all kinds of monuments. to all fallen soldiers. This was on the backside of Cemetery Ridge. The Rebs had quickly broke through, but were driven back off Cemetery Ridge, off the backside, which is the same side as Culp's Hill. This is a cemetery gate. Now, believe it or not, there was a family living in here. The husband, I believe, was part of the Union Army. So his wife, who was several months pregnant, I want to say 6-7 months pregnant, was there at the time. She's left, and this place got, and you'll still see, I don't know if I took any pictures, though, you'll still see this thing is riddled with bullet holes. And if you look back at pictures from back in the day, you'll see this thing was just all kinds of fucked up. There's the gate. I don't know if you could see some of the damage. Not really. But after the battle, now she's the, you know, mortician, or, you know, she's taking care of the cemetery while her husband's away. So she dug something like 110 graves, 7 months, 6-7 months pregnant. I mean, they don't make women like that anymore now, do they? Now, this is at Spangler Spring. This was a spring that a lot of the guys, a lot of the troops had used to fill canteens, fill their water supply. And there was a big battle that happened down here. I believe the Illinois Corps was involved. And they ran, I can't remember the exact everything that happened here, but there was a big battle here. And it's right at the foot of Culp's Hill. And I thought this was an interesting engraving. One country and one flag, the strife of brothers is past. Although we kind of have forgotten this kind of stuff now, haven't we? Especially in recent days. What you also know, the interesting fact, is Eisenhower. His house is located at the foot of the Gettysburg battlefield. Now, on the Seminary Ridge side. Now, why would Eisenhower, I mean, was he really like into the Gettysburg battle? Well, maybe. All my buffering. I hope I'm not buffering. I hope I'm not buffering too bad. Sorry if I am. But before the national parks came to be, it was realized that Gettysburg was an important place. So it was originally curated by the War Department. Now, back then, they didn't realize how important it, you know, really was, and they didn't have a park service. So the War Department kind of used it as a tank practice range, and there was like a pool there from what I remember reading. They didn't respect it as much. But Eisenhower was stationed there at the time, doing way back, you know, in the early part of the 1900s. He was stationed there. They fell in love with the town. And eventually after, they bought the house before they retired. I believe they bought the house in the early 50s. And then so when he was done being president, that's where he lived out his days. And Mimi lived there till she died in 1979. So I didn't get a chance to see the Eisenhower house. Next time I go, I'm definitely going to go, because I think Eisenhower was a great president. I think he was a great military leader. Definitely something I want to see. I was a little disappointed that I didn't get to see it, but see, this gives me a reason to go back. Jane Wade House. Reynolds, you'll learn about Reynolds when you go there. This guy got fucked up first day. Now, the Gettysburg Address was given right there in Gettysburg in, I believe it's called the Union Cemetery, which was basically on Cemetery Ridge, right? And you gotta remember that, you know, the war is still going on. Lincoln wanted to give people hope. And they say that this is one of the most important speeches ever given. And it was given on this spot. And let's listen real brief to the Gettysburg Address, because I think it's an important thing that everybody should know. Oop, hold on. Everybody should know this. Everybody should hear it. Even if there's only a few people listening, hopefully people listen to this later on.
Four score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here, dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Something that they don't teach enough in school these days, right? I mean, that's what I was saying earlier in the stream. Like, you guys, you're kind of past, you know, the stupidity of things, right? You have a willing and a wanting to learn about these things, I believe, right? And why not do that? All right, I'm almost done. I hope this has been educational and enjoyable for anybody listening. Okay, so this is the Eternal Light, and again, like, I was reading some of these things that were etched, and boy, people have forgotten about this shit. You know, peace eternal in a nation united. We are so divided now again, aren't we? I mean, it really feels almost like we're on the precipice of precipice of something bad. So here's the Eternal Light, and you can see it's up on the high ground, right? And I don't know if I took a picture. Okay, here. So this is looking down at Gettysburg, right? So this is where the Rebs had first set in, and this line of trees is about where Seminary Ridge is, right? So as you can see, the Rebs were firing down. You can see these monuments here. This is the Union lines, right? Which, by the way, so these have significance, how they set these up, just so when you go there, so you know. Basically, the tallest spires, dedicated to, say, like the New York infantry, whatever, right, is that's where their center of their line was, that particular regiment. And then they have smaller ones. You can kind of see them here, right? The smaller ones is the end of that line's regiment, right? And they're going to have a left and a right. So you'll see that's how they could lay out these monuments. Okay, so as you can see, the Rebs had a pretty good advantage at the beginning, and they drove the Union down off this hill. They chased them down into the town and up to Cemetery Ridge. All right. Now this is looking out. This is, I believe, the Virginia Monument. I could be wrong. I think it's Virginia Monument. One of the Virginia Monuments. There's not many Reb monuments. This is one of them. This is the field that they had Pickett's charge. This is the Pennsylvania Monument. You can see in the distance. But you could see how Cemetery Hill is up, is raised up. And you could see in the distance over here, about over here, this is Little Round Top and Big Round Top out in the distance. Right? So, like I was saying at one point during this thing, that's the high ground, low ground, right? Whoever has the high ground, they're going to kick ass. Well, the Union had the high ground during most of this. Here's another look at, this is where Pickett's charge happened. This is a lot of guys died on this. You can see, I don't know if this is the fence, but basically they had to cross this fence. They got all jammed up on the fence. I mean, it was a fucking disaster. I mean, I'm not laughing at it, but Jesus Christ, how many bodies were laid out across this field? It's hard to think about and realize. This is the Lee Monument. It's now going through a restoration. They're trying to make it appear like it did when it was originally placed. It's made of bronze, so they're cleaning up the bronze. Here's another look at the field that Pickett's charge happened on. I believe that's Spire is the New York Monument in the distance there. This is the Pennsylvania Monument over here. I got some good pictures from Pennsylvania Monument that we'll show you momentarily. This is Little Round Top. I believe this is taken from the peach orchard, I think, or the wheat field. No, I think it's the wheat field. This area, like I mentioned earlier, is closed at the moment, but you can still drive by and see it. So basically, the Rebs were coming across this field and across from Devil's Den, charging up this hill. And then, like I said, the Maine and the Massachusetts, and I believe the Vermont regiments, charged down the hill, down off them. Again, high ground, low ground. Union was on the high ground. Even though the Union got fucked up across the wheat fields and across the peach orchards, they just fell back to that little round top, and they took out the Rebs there. Here you can kind of see the Devil's Den over here. So the Devil's Den is a bunch of rocks, rock formations. Again, a lot of destruction over there. I believe this is on the edge of the peach orchards. So now this is looking down from the, this would be from Cemetery Ridge, looking down towards Seminary Ridge, right? So this is where Pickett's charge happened, looking from the Union position up. It's a Pennsylvania Monument. It's a huge, ornate monument. I mean, it's really just, I mean, astounding. All the names, you can see all the names of the soldiers. I mean, it's crazy. So here we go. This is a really good look at the main battlefield where Pickett's charge happened. So as you can see, all these monuments. This was all the Union line all across here, right? Now, I had mentioned that the Rebs who were down here, right, and they had to run up this slope upwards, they were firing their cannons, and what was happening was those shells were ending up back over here in this area. They were totally missing the Union lines, but they couldn't see because of all the smoke. So now the look at the line from the Pennsylvania Monument. This is that clump of trees that the Rebs were all aiming for. Some cannon picks up on, this is where Armistead had broke through. He had put his sword on his hat on his sword and said for Virginia. And I believe you could see the wall just in the distance right over here. I thought I got some good picks there with the sun. And this is where the Union was set up to take care of the Rebs. This was the wall that was crossed by Armistead. This is where the Union had set up across here. You could see the field, right? This is where Pickett's Charge happened. And you could see it's kind of a slow sloping downwards. Not a good, I think the Rebs thought they had the upper hand with the barrage of cannon fire. But unfortunately, they just missed their mark. And here you could see the field. So the field, they had to charge up. A lot of death and destruction that happened there. And finally, I ate out one night, even though I camped the other night and cooked out. I ate one night at this place called the Blue and Gray Bar and Grill. Wasn't bad. A little greasy spoon. I met some nice guys there from Virginia, and we were talking about, well, if this was back in the day, we'd be, shooting each other or, pulling out knives on another, but meanwhile we had beer together. So there's still good people out there, I think. So there's my presentation, and I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope it was somewhat educational. I hope you learned some things. If this did well, let me know. Leave a like, a share, a subscribe, a comment. I want to leave you with two things. We were talking earlier about Shawshank Redemption, right? And there's this great line from that movie. And let's share that. I know. Billy, what are you doing? Here we go. Remember this?
Get busy living or get busy dying. That's goddamn right.
Get busy living or get busy dying. I think it's time to get busy living, right? Let's do things for our own enlightenment, for our own selves. Let's stop living lives for other people who don't give a fuck about you, who never gave a fuck about you. Let's start doing that. And I'm going to leave you. Now, I'm not doing 20 talks tonight, Polska Bob. I wanted to be serious tonight. I'll do 20 talks, not next time. So, before I leave, I know this is shorter one that I usually do, because I usually do the 20 talks. So next live stream in 2 weeks, I'm going to have a Halloween special. And I went into a really fucking haunted place by myself, and I caught some real fucking crazy ass shit. Stuff that I didn't even know I was catching while it was happening, like my name being said and things of that nature, and thumps and bumps and conversations, and it's kind of crazy, some of the stuff. And I think it's a good little good little Halloween show. And we'll be doing that the 30th, so 2 weeks. So with that, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I'm leaving you with a song that I wrote. I didn't perform it, but it's performed by a guy named Christian Diane. You can find him on Apple, Spotify, all those streaming platforms. Not this song. He did the song for me. But yeah, it's a song of hope and a song about life. And Nate, you're mentioned in it, believe it or not. Thought it'd be fun to put some people in there. But I hope you enjoyed the show, guys. And I hope you have a great week. And with that, I will see you in 2 weeks for the Halloween show. Don't miss it. Have a great night, guys. Take care, and thanks for coming.
Time I drank my wine and now it's time to go. Friends all here, some far and near, and now it's Billy's show. Snake and Abe, a man called Nate, and even a red rhino. It's getting late, 2 weeks we'll wait, just thought I'd let you know. And maybe there's a life, 'cause after the fall you feel like nothing at all. That maybe it's alright to laugh till you cry and burn bright till you die. That maybe there's a life, 'cause after the fall you feel like nothing at all. That maybe it's alright to laugh till you cry and burn bright till you die. Don't worry, friend, it's not the end. We'll see you once again. Just ride that train, we'll see you around the bend. 'Cause life is long, just hear this song. In a world of wrong, you must be strong. You must be strong. So here we go. Like a river flows across my mind. Listening to the show. So here we go. Thanks for listening to Billy's show.